Or as we continue our series of messages in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 4, we've been preaching through the entire book of Luke, and here in chapter 4, picking it up in verse 9, as Jesus Christ is now being 40 days tempted of the devil, and the Bible says in verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all temptations, he departed from him for a season. And so we see in this last temptation of the devil, the temptation is to tempt God. Now, I have herniated the lower disc in my back twice in my life, and praise God, I've never had to have surgery. The Lord's been very merciful. But because God's been merciful, and because the Lord has protected me, does not mean that I now do 400-pound squatting anymore. Amen? It doesn't mean that I just do a lot of bending over and picking up heavy equipment and all that sort of thing. I have to be careful with those sorts of things. Now, so far, God has blessed, God has kept me healthy, but I'm not going to tempt the Lord and just say, well, God said he'd take care of me, so I'll go act like a fool and then end up getting hurt. You see, that's tempting the Lord. And truly, what's meant here in this situation of tempting God is simply to do this, to do it in your own strength. Cast thyself down and let God do everything for you. Or the first temptation, which was what? Command these stones be made bread. These are opposite the one from the other. You need to understand that. And in the middle is, let the devil do it for you. That option's out. Amen. Not going to let the devil do it for us. So then the other options are, do it all yourself. Or let God do it all. And brethren, actually somewhere in the middle is where we need to be. And this idea that, well, we'll just let God take care of it. Just dive off the temple. God will protect us. God will carry us through. I'll just trust the Lord. Listen, you can trust the Lord all day long, but I bet just about every one of you, if you're in certain parts of town, you're going to lock your car. Amen. And most of you locked your house before you left today. Amen. Anybody not lock your house and want to let everybody know in church? You won't even let everybody know in church. Amen. I'm just trusting the Lord. Yeah, but we also have some sense. God's given us a brain, and He wants us to use it. Amen. This idea of God, let God do it all, there's an old expression, and it goes like this. God helps those who help themselves, and there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. Now, we got two opposite sides on this thing. When it comes to salvation, there's two opposite sides. The one side is, let's work our way to heaven. Let's do it all ourselves. That ain't going to work. No, that ain't going to work. If you could earn your own way to heaven, why did Jesus have to come and die on a cross and be raised again? If you could earn your way to heaven, there would be no need for that, see? But the other end of the spectrum on that thing is what we today call Calvinism, or predestination, this idea that God already chose who He's going to take to heaven and who He's not. You have nothing to do with it. You see, that's all. This one is God does it all. This one over here is you do it all. But brethren, in the middle, supposed to be, God did His part. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ rose victoriously from the dead the third day and is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. You see, the Holy Spirit calls. The Holy Spirit invites you to be saved, but you must obey that calling. You must heed. You must listen. There's something you must do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something you must do, and it's simple. You must believe. You must accept. You must receive God's gift of righteousness that he offers to you and I. There's also this idea we have on one side, this thing of what we call the charismatic movement of signs and wonders, where if anybody here has a cold or has a sore back, come up and I'll lay my hand on you and heal you. Uh-uh. No. We don't believe in that. Amen? But there's this other side that says, well, God doesn't do any miracles today at all. We don't believe that either. See? We're in the middle. That's where you're supposed to be. You see, on either side, on any issue, there's a ditch. And the idea, listen, if I had the power to heal people, I'd be at the hospital right now. I wouldn't be here. Does that make sense to you? If somebody had the power to touch people and heal them, what are they doing? That's a joke. You understand? But I believe in prayer and asking God to heal people. I've seen him do it. God still works miracles today. Amen? He still works miracles today. You know, one of the funniest things I've ever seen is a charismatic preacher that has healing lines, but he wears glasses and is bald. Never made a whole lot of sense to me. Amen. That's just me. But if you'll notice in this passage what the devil does, verse 10, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. That's the devil quoting Scripture. The devil can quote Scripture, brethren. The devil can quote Scripture. Just because you can doesn't mean anything. come on. You know, I've seen Christians quote Scripture to justify just about anything. I've seen Christians quote Scripture to justify being a sodomite. I've seen Christians quote Scripture to justify living together with someone. I've seen Christians quote Scripture to be a drunk. Or I've seen Christians quote Scripture to do drugs. I've seen Christians quote Scripture to pick it out in front of a church. I've seen all kinds of things. Matthew chapter 7 is a good one. You ever hear someone say, judge not? You know what they're doing? They're quoting Scripture, but they're not quoting all the Scripture. Verses 1 through 5 of Matthew 7 says, judge not, lest ye be judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged again. He's just saying, don't be a hypocrite. Don't judge someone in a way that you don't expect to be judged yourself. That's all. Now, I expect to be judged by the Word of God. You will be judged by the Word of God. So we judge according to the Word of God. What did Jesus say in John chapter 7 and verse 24? Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. What do you mean Jesus didn't want to judge? He told you to judge. But he said, judge not after the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Christians are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that we're to judge one another. We don't judge the lost. They're already judged. They're already condemned. They're already under the wrath of God. We're seeking to win them to Christ. But we must judge each other. The Bible gives us that command. Amen? And so there's things that we are to do as Christians. There's things that God is to do. But it's never this idea, well, let's just let God do it all. And that's a temptation of the devil. And when that happens, we're tempting God. We're tempting God. That's exactly what we're doing. Well, let's just let God do it all. Let's don't witness to people and tell them about the gospel. I mean, let's not go out on the streets and hold up signs and banners and preach the Word of God. In the average church today, their only outreach is, we'll act like you so that you'll come in the church and get saved. No, we were told to go out and get them and then compel them to come in. Amen. Amen. We're not going to change God's standards so that you as a lost person feel comfortable in here. We don't want you feeling comfortable. If you're here right now and you're on your way to hell, we don't want you comfortable at all. We want you very uncomfortable. We love you, but we want you uncomfortable knowing that you are under the wrath of God on your way to a devil's hell. We want to see you saved. We want to see you come to Jesus Christ. He's alive. He will save you right now if you were to call upon him. Right at this very second. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. He can save you if you save me, like I said before. I've heard him say when I've been out there witnessing or out I've had Christians come to me and say, what are you doing? You're not doing it right. I say, well, how do you do it? Well, what I do is I just live a good life in front of them. Why? So they'll know that you're a good person? Now, how about if I just came up here as the pastor on Sunday morning? How about I just come up here? Here I go. I'm going to start the service. Love. 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 I'm waiting for God to do it. Right? You say, what's going to get done? Nothing. You might think I'm a nice guy. And some of you are thinking, yeah, they sure would be wrong. I know what you're thinking. That's right. Listen, my job is to come up here and preach and teach the Word of God to you. Your job is to listen and get something out of it and do something for God. But you're not going to get any help from me if I just come and look good before you. And this world isn't going to get any help from the Christians if all they're doing is trying to look good in front of them. Here's one of my hang-ups, okay? Just blame me for being critical, whatever you want to do. Be critical against me being critical, that's fine. But one of my hang-ups is these Christians that got these little encoded little things they put on their cars that only other Christians know that kind of says, I'm a Christian. They got these different ones, you know, that they'll put on their car. I'm a Christian. Listen, if you're a Christian, why don't you do this? Why don't you put scripture on your car? Everybody understands that. They can read it. They can get help from it. Just a thought. See? What is it? What is this idea that as Christians, we have to somehow be embarrassed or ashamed about what we believe? I think that's the real issue, isn't it? See? Well, we're just letting God do it. No, what you mean is you have no boldness in Jesus Christ, and the reason you don't is the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion, and the reason you don't have any boldness is because you're not righteous. You're not living right. You've got sin in your life. You don't have a close walk with Jesus Christ, because if you did, you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, and if you were filled with the Holy Spirit, you'd want to go and talk to others about Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, that's just the truth. You say, I don't like it. Then you don't like the truth. I can't help that. I'm not going to change. You have to change. Amen. We'll see who lasts and endures to the end. But listen, look in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. When it comes to this idea of Christian growth, you know what some people think? Well, I'm saved. I'm just naturally going to grow as a Christian. That's not true. That's not true. Do you realize you have to do certain things to grow as a Christian? The Bible commands you to do certain things to grow as a Christian. Look here, and this is the verse that they'll take, and they'll take this verse out of context, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. I've heard Christians say, well, I don't need to go to church. I'm saved, and the Lord can show me what He wants me to know. And that's the verse that they'll use. Do you realize the context of that? Look in verse 25. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduced you. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. That's about those that are trying to get you going the wrong way and think that you could lose your salvation. If you don't belong to the right church, or if you don't get baptized, or if you don't do this, that, or the other thing, then somehow you're not going to be saved anymore. See? That's what the context of that verse is about. That's not saying that you don't need to be taught, and I'll prove it to you. If you doubt me, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Let's look at a few scriptures this morning. Acts chapter 13, and look with me in verse 1. Acts 13 and verse 1. Acts 13:1, now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them to. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Now notice there in verse 1, now there was in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and what? Why would God have teachers if you don't need any man to teach you? Wouldn't that be kind of a crazy thing? You see, that's someone taking one verse and not taking all the Bible together. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. If you're going to grow as a Christian, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to submit to other men that are going to help you and disciple you and teach you the Word of God. You're going to have to submit to a pastor, whether it's me or someone else you feel that God would have you follow. You need to submit to that pastor and let him teach you and preach the Word of God to you so that you can grow. It is not going to happen if you're not a member of a local Bible-believing church. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and what? Teachers. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, he says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. So this idea that you don't need any man to teach you or show you anything, that's a lie. That's a lie. You need that as a Christian if you're going to grow. Listen, you are going to grow as much as you expose yourself to and then do something with what you're taught from the Word of God. And that's how much you'll grow. This idea that, well, I'll just let God do it. Is that what you do with your baby? You just set it down somewhere and just pray that it'll grow? See? You know what you do? You feed that baby. You help that baby. You nurture that baby. And sometimes when they're babies, you got to force feed them. Amen. Usually not. You know what the Bible says about a baby Christian? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If a Christian gets saved and then is never in the Bible and never in church, how much are they going to grow? You know, it's unfortunate, but you probably have Christians that have been saved 15 or 20 years, but in Christ they're still infants. They've never grown as a Christian. They just have this idea that, well, God will do it all for me. No, you have to do it. You as a Christian, the Bible says, have to give attendance to reading. You as a Christian, the Bible says, have to study to show yourself approved unto God. That's something you have to do. You can't expect God to do it all. You have to be in church. You have to get right. You have to read. You have to study. God's not going to do that for you. Don't tempt the Lord. You want to grow? God told you what to do. Does God want you in church this evening at 6 o'clock? Well, I don't think he has. Did you ask him or did you already decide? Right? Does he want you here Wednesday night for Bible study? Does he want you sitting in on the Bible Institute classes? Does he want you involved in any ministries in the church? See? Does he want you here for Sunday school? Does he want you here for Sunday morning? Does he... I don't know. I'm just saying you better ask God and find out. Don't expect God to do it all for you. Hey, parents. Don't expect God to do it all for you. That'd be tempting the Lord. Well, I pray for my children. Well, that's good. But I hope you're doing more than that. Yeah, well, I just don't believe in shoving religion down their throat. I've never had to shove religion down my kids' throats. I just let them learn the Bible, be in church. They all ended up getting saved. They all actually desire the Word of God and read it and want to learn it on their own. They're all interested in Christian music and those sorts of things. How did that happen? I didn't have to shove anything. If it's good, you don't have to shove it. Amen. And the same parents that say that make their kids go to school. Why do you shove that education down their throat? You see how hypocritical some people are? Listen, is this the truth or not? Did Jesus die for their sins according to Scripture, be buried and rose again? Is the Bible the Word of God or not? Then what did the Bible say you're supposed to do? You're supposed to teach them to your children. Everything in this Bible, you're to teach your children. Have you done it? Well, I'm praying for them. I'm going to let God, and they'll make up their own mind. No, you better not. You better obey God. You better do it God's way. God's not going to do it all for you. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Bible says, chasten thy son while there is hope. You know why it says that? Because there might be a time come when there's no more hope. It's too late. I've seen that. You wait too long, it's too late. And then they get chastened in jail. or in prison or a life of bad character because they weren't chastened when they should have been. Amen. As parents, you're to teach them. You're to love them. You're to challenge them. Mom and dad, don't do everything for them. Look at little Garrett there. Praise the Lord. Amen. One of our newest members in church this morning. Little Garrett, Sister Natalie, if you would stand. Lord's answered a lot of prayers here, if you can. Amen. There's little Garrett. Amen. He's already in church. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. He's got a drug problem. He's going to be drugged the church his whole life. Wonderful. But guess what? What right now, you know what that baby needs? He needs mom and dad to do everything for him. But what happens if mom and dad always do everything for him? He's not going to grow the way he needs to grow. You know, mom and dad, after a while, you have to start challenging those children to start doing more for themselves. That's how you grow up. You know what we've raised in this country, brethren? A generation that doesn't know how to do anything for themselves. They're so used to mama or daddy taking care of them that when they do finally grow up, then they have to have the government take care of them. Amen. Because they never learn it themselves. And mom and dad, you need to challenge your children. It doesn't matter. Let them cry. They'll get over it. Amen. Make them do things they don't want to do. Isn't that a novel thought? Amen. That's going to help them. That's going to strengthen them and give them that character that they need for life. You're helping them. You're not harming them by doing that. Christian, are you trying to find the will of God for your life? You know how you'll tempt the Lord? Well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to show me. Well, why don't you get busy doing something for God so He can show you? Why don't you start walking so then He can open the doors? Why don't you get off of your blessed assurance and start doing something for God and then He can lead you? You can't lead a horse unless the horse is moving. Amen. And the idea is you've got to get busy doing something for God, and then the more you want to serve God and you start moving, then the Lord opens one door and closes another, and the Lord will do His part, but you have to do yours. And this idea that, well, I'm just going to let God do it, that's not Bible. That's not Bible. You were told to knock, and it shall be opened. You were told to seek, and you shall find. And that's scripture when it comes to that idea. Listen, God doesn't do for us what we can do for ourselves. It's as simple as that. There was two fellas, and they were out on a boat doing a little fishing, kind of out on the Gulf, right there, kind of going out into the ocean, and the motor died. Motor died, and they had no radio, no communication. And the one guy said, Jim, we need to start praying right now. And the other guy said, Steve, you pray, I'm going to start paddling. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you pray, but you better start doing something too, Christian. Amen. And that's the idea. Otherwise, you know what you're doing? You're just tempting the Lord. You're tempting the Lord to do it all. When Jesus fed the 5,000, why didn't Jesus just do it? You know what He did? He called His 12 disciples and He said, you do it. He gave some to them, and then they went out, and then as they started doing it, you have this idea, I know, from Sunday school and the pictures, I understand, you have this idea that they had baskets, and that they went around and they started pulling food out of the baskets. Yeah, that ain't in the Bible. They picked up afterwards, they picked up 12 baskets full. Here's the question, where did they get the baskets? I mean, let alone where did they get the fish and the bread, where did they get the baskets? 2 fish, 5 loaves. The Lord takes that between 12 guys and says, go out and start feeding them. That's 5,000 men plus women and children. You're talking 12, 15, 20,000 people by 12 men. And they each had a handful of food. And they went to one and they would give the food. And then there was more food. And then they went to another and gave food. And then there was more food. But what if they had never gone? What if they had never obeyed? Do you understand? The Lord will do His part. But God expects ours. And when we don't, we're tempting the Lord. Well, I'm just going to, how about if this pastor, I just said, well, this is God's church and God's going to do what he wants, and so I'll see you all next week. It doesn't work that way. Amen. That's not what the Lord has called any of us to do. In the Christian life, that Bible says we're to study. That Bible says we're to pray. That Bible says we're to walk. The Bible says we are to stand. The Bible says we are to fight. The Bible says we are to go. The Bible says we are to wrestle. The Bible says we are to strive. The Bible says we are to give. The Bible says we are to withstand and resist and obey. That's something we do. God's not going to do it all. Well, just let God do it for you. Sad. You know what you're getting now coming up in this country? Is a generation of zombies. Honest to God. Between the fluoride and the television and everything else, people are just kind of sitting around in a stupor. 50% of Americans are hooked on drugs and everything else. Yeah, but they're over their prescription. That doesn't mean anything. And they're just walking around. And you understand when you're on drugs that you're in a passive state. You understand when you're watching that television and it's flashing off and on, off and on, off and on, off and on, and they're telling you what to believe and what to buy, and you're just a zombie. And you know what you are? See, if evolution was true, you'd be pudding by now. Because you just sit there. That's not God. That's not what God wants for you. That's not living. That's not living. Amen? There's something in you that's wanting to get out and live and fight. And God wants that. God has a will for your life. But God never goes against your will. You have a will. You know what the devil wants? You to surrender your will to him. You know how people get possessed? That's how. These young people doing the drugs, putting the headphones on, listening to the music, looking at the lights flashing, on drugs, what are you doing? You're allowing yourself to be hypnotized. You've put yourself in a passive state. God's desire is never for you to be passive. You know what God wants men to be? Men. You know what God wants women to be? Women. And as Christians, we fight the good fight of faith. You are to obey. When you obey, God blesses. When you go, God leads. When you speak, God fills. When you give, God provides. When you study, God reveals. You must commit to live for God. It's making your will God's will. Well, I'll just let God do it. That's the great temptation. You know why so many go to hell? They're waiting for God to do it. Well, I just don't have the right feeling. What do you mean? God told you what to do. What do you mean, have the right feeling? Well, I'm just not feeling moved. Then move. God told you what to do. God sent his son to die on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you. He rose from the dead for you. He's alive right now, looking at you. Able to save you, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. God calls out to you. He wants to save you. He wants to change you. He wants to give you new life. He wants to give you eternal life. He calls, you must respond. You must obey the gospel. That's your job. This thing is not optional. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he didn't mean I'm one of many ways, or I'm one of a few different truths, or there's more than one way to find life. He was very dogmatic. You say, but I don't like that. And I know, and the reason you don't like it is because the television told you not to, and you're obeying your master. But truth is truth. Now, should I believe you or one that rose from the dead and was seen of over 500 witnesses? I'll go with him. And he's the one that told me that he's able to save you to the uttermost. But you must respond. You must obey. There's only one time when Jesus ever did obey that voice and jump off that pinnacle. But that's when he laid himself up on that cross and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. One day you're going to die. And then it'll all be out of your hands. Then you better make sure that God is there for you. Isn't that interesting when you read about that rich man and Lazarus, and Lazarus dies? The Bible said that God sent his angels. You know what scripture the devil's quoting? He shall give his angels charge over thee. That's what that thing's about. When you die, are you the Lord's? Or will he say, depart from me, I never knew you. Are you the Lord's? Do you know the resurrected Savior? If you've ever met him, you'll be changed. You can't say you know Jesus Christ and be the same person you were before. That's impossible. Because he lives, amen, because he lives, I shall see tomorrow. Because he lives, I know where I'm going. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm not guessing about it. I know for sure I have a home in heaven. And if you don't know for sure you have a home in heaven, it's because you're not born again. And Jesus came to give you new life and to save you. He rose from the dead to do that for you. Listen, that's something you have to do. He's done his part. The question is, will you tempt God? Will you believe the lie of the devil? Or will you make up your mind that you'll obey and trust Christ? As the piano player comes forward, Christian, will you do your part? Will you obey God? Will you do what he told you to do so that he can bless you, so that he can help you? And if you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, you can know him in 5 seconds. In 5 seconds. Let's bow our heads for prayer right now. Father, pray you bless the message. Lord, I pray for your people. Help us, Lord, to never tempt you and expect you to do it all for us. Lord, you've given us the health that you've given us. You've given us the families you've given us. You've given us a Bible. You've given us a church. Lord, you've provided so much for us. God, help us to not let it all be in vain. Lord, may we use all that you've given us, all of our talents, all of our abilities, all of our strength and mind, Lord, to serve thee. Lord, help us not to tempt thee and expect you to do it all for us. God, I pray if there's one here now that's not sure that they have eternal life, I pray that right now, as I'm praying, that they would pray. I'm praying right now that they would say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for being a sinner and sinning against you. Lord, I pray they'd pray that right now, and I pray they'd mean from their heart that they don't want to go to hell and that they want to go to heaven. And I pray that right now they'd say, Lord Jesus, please save me. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and give me eternal life. Wash away my sins in your blood. Lord, I pray they'd pray that. They'd do their part. They'd believe on Christ and be saved today. I ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and sing that song again. We'll just sing the first verse, Because He Lives. Let's stand. What is that? 149. 149. If you don't know the resurrected Christ, I pray that before you leave here today, you'd know him. Let's sing it out on the first verse. Thank you. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. You know, Christian, there's been many times in my life where I've done all I could do. I couldn't do no more. And then I've seen the Lord come through and do His part. God's faithful. He never asks too much from us, but He does ask us to do what we're supposed to do. You want God to bless you? He told you what to do. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Listen, if you're here and you're lost, let me explain something to you. You have a soul. It's eternal. It's energy. It has weight. And one day, just like this paper here, your soul is going to leave your body. And then guess where it's going to go? That's a law. Unless there's someone there holding on to it to bring it with Him. Christ arose. Does He have your soul? Give it to Him today. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer?